Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from KVRF 89.5 Radio Free Palmer here in the Matsu Valley. An absolutely beautiful spring day, 1st of May. We are in the midst of heading towards summer. We are here with our host today for Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forto. She is a trainer at Alaska Dog Works of not only service dogs, but basic obedience, canine good citizen, puppy classes, and more. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going well. It's been quite a busy week for us, hasn't it?
Excuse me. It sure has. We are in the middle of beautiful spring weather, as I mentioned. What that means is people start getting out and about with their dogs. Before we get started with our topic today, can you give us a tip or two about the changeover from winter to spring up here in Alaska and how we should begin that exercising and training of our dogs outside?
You know, here in Alaska, we are blessed with many, many trails, and I have seen a lot of dogs and their owners out on the trails of the last couple of weeks, actually, and we are in the midst of breakup. And if you're not sure what breakup is when winter ends and spring begins and all of the snow and ice begin to melt, and we discover not pretty green grass and nice little wildflowers. We usually discover dead grass with lots of surprises from our dog friends. So keep that in mind, that when you're out and about exploring during this time of year, your dog may discover some old feces laying around on the ground, being that of other dogs and or other animals, and they should be discouraged from ingesting those feces.
That is true. And up here in Alaska, we are blessed with totally awesome trails and trail systems that we can train our dogs on. I know we got a little bit spoiled when we were operating our training school down in Denver, but Alaska has the same, doesn't it?
Yes, actually the trail systems here in Alaska are very advanced for what people down in the lower 48 consider the last frontier.
That is true, and trails don't necessarily mean perfectly groomed, well taken care of by the state or the city, but they also could just be wilderness trails, right?
Absolutely. We have quite a few right out of our back door in the Nancy Lake Recreation Area.
So with that, on the trails, typically a dog and a dog owner will run into another dog, and that's typically what most calls to a training center involve, whether they're barking or jumping in the house or involving issues with other dogs. We typically see that more than anything at our training center, and with that, typically comes with either lack of training or bad manners. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the canine good citizen test. And with that, that means that a dog should be a well-behaved dog in public, not just a well-behaved dog in your home, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, along the same lines, a lot of times it's not always the dog that is creating the problem on the end of the leash. And that's where the Canine Good Citizen training program can really assist the owners in what to do and what not to do and how to educate other pedestrians and people walking their dogs with their children or whatnot, because now you're able to display proper manners with your dog, and the other person should learn how to do that with theirs as well. Typically, you can think of a walk in the park, and here you are walking your dog, or should I say your dog's probably walking you, by pulling at the end of the leash as hard as he can, and you come across another owner whose dog was maybe fairly well walking in a heel position until he saw your dog lunge forward. So now you've got two dogs lunging forward with full force trying to get to each other as fast as they can. Typically, those dogs want to do what is instinctual. They just want to smell each other and greet each other and go on their merry way. In other cases, depending on the owner's reaction or that dog's past experiences, you may end up with an aggressive situation.
That is true, and not all training programs are set up for public work, meaning outside of the home. A lot of times, a puppy class or a very beginning obedience class just teaches your basic manners, doesn't it?
Yeah, typically your basic socialization, and by basic manners, I think you're referring to the typical introduction to the leash, maybe sit, maybe down, and maybe a stay, definitely a coming when called.
You know, I'm a firm believer that every dog training client and their dog should go through at least a Canine Good Citizen program. You know, this is a little bit different than what a lot of people expect. Is like we mentioned, the manners or a basic program. This is a program that is designed to test a dog and his owner, and it's established by the American Kennel Club. And the American Kennel Club is an organization that is not only a registry for purebred dogs, but also a very big advocate for trained dogs. So that's what we're going to talk about today here on Dog Talk Radio. We're going to talk about the Canine Good Citizen Test. Both Michelle and I are evaluators up here in Alaska, and I believe there's probably several more. But before we get into the test itself, who can participate, dog and people, in the Canine Good Citizen Test?
Well, as you mentioned, it is mandated by the American Kennel Club. They started it in 1989, and it's been in place since 1989, but you'd be surprised how many people haven't heard of what we typically call CGC, or Canine Good Citizen. Training with your dog via the Canine Good Citizen program enhances your bond with you and your dog, and it makes your dog respect you more and want to do things with you more, because now you're communicating with your dog on a different level of intelligence. So with that, I think that Canine Good Citizen is what every owner should strive for, whether they can afford training or not. You can simply get on the AKC Canine Good Citizen website page and follow the instructions and their really nifty pamphlet, and you're well on your way.
So we ask who can participate. Any purebred or mixed bred dog is welcome to participate in the Canine Good Citizen Test. Of course, they do have to be immunized for rabies and other communicable diseases. And a dog cannot be too young or too old to participate in the Good Citizen Test.
Yes, and recently the AKC Canine Good Citizen has developed a program called Puppy Star. Puppy Star is for dogs under the age of 6 months. Between the ages of 8 weeks and 6 months of age, they can go through a program called Puppy Star. It's a little bit different than just your run-of-the-mill puppy socialization classes. Then you get into the regular program. Canine Good Citizen is for dogs 6 months and older. And as Robert mentioned, you do need to prove their vaccinations. And then it recently was opened to the mixed breeds. It did not used to be, but it is now. And even more recently, you can actually receive a title in Canine Good Citizen under the AKC for dog showing.
And we're going to talk about that in just a second, that very unique title. And titles are something that the AKC has been all about since the late 1800s, when they became organized. So, as Michelle mentioned, any dog over the age of 6 months is allowed to take the Canine Good Citizen, as long as they're able to pass. And I think it's important to note that just because a very young dog passes at what we call the beginning of puppy teenager doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to continue with that work later on. We highly suggest that they take the test again as they get older, right?
Yes, absolutely. Robert kind of misspoke there. You can take the Canine Good Citizen class as many times as you like. We've had clients in the past take that class 3, 4, 5 times in a row, and I'm talking about once every 6 months they take my class and recertify their dogs. And they do that just to keep themselves and their dog on track. They're checking to make sure that they've been doing everything right.
That's exactly right. So let's talk about the test itself, and we're going to go over each one of them. There's 10 tests in the Canine Good Citizen Test, and a dog must pass all 10 in order to get the certificate. So let's start with number 1, Michelle. the accepting of a friendly stranger.
Accepting of a friendly stranger means that the dog will allow a friendly stranger to approach and speak to its owner in a natural, everyday fashion. And basically what that means is that if I walk up to you and your dog, I should not expect it to jump on me, lunge at me, bark at me, growl at me, block me from shaking hands with you, or I also should not expect it to shy away, go between your legs, try to run away, and things like that. I should expect it to be placed on a sit and patiently wait for me to give it attention if I so choose to.
So number two, sitting politely for petting. This is typically where dogs begin to get a little anxious, especially puppies. Typically dogs, they want to be friends with everybody, especially puppies. Explain test number two.
Well, you're exactly right. With test number two, what I do is I encourage my owners to get in a kneeling position next to their dog that's on a sit. This really does help the puppies learn to remain calm, that my mom is right there or my dad is right there, and I have nothing to be afraid of, and I really don't have a reason to be overly excited here. We're just greeting somebody. That's also when I encourage people to hold their hand out with their fingers facing upwards, so palm up, and let the dog smell them before they pet. And I have them let the dog smell them, and then their hand is naturally placed under the dog's chin. This is putting you in a position where the dog is not fearful of you hitting it or coming at it too quickly and therefore biting you. So then if the dog is accepting of you, then you can slowly take your hand up over his head and begin to pet his head. That is a proper way to pet the dog that's sitting politely for petting. This is also the number one way for our clientele to now educate the public about their dog, about why their dog is being trained in this manner. And this is my first step to deciding if a dog has the potential to go on to therapy teamwork or in even service work.
And we're talking about the Canine Good Citizen Test here on Dog Works Radio. Please ask your questions or comments. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Dog Works Radio or on our Radio Free Palmer page. Test number three is where we're really putting the sandwich to the mustard, as they say, Michelle. We're talking about appearance and grooming. It becomes very important very early in puppyhood when you begin to take your dog to the vet and to the groomers.
Absolutely, but this is also where the evaluator and the trainer puts themselves in a dangerous situation. If we are dealing with a dog that is a little bit older and already has fearful thoughts in his little head, because during the appearance and grooming portion of the test, we pretend that we are more like a vet. We're coming in to give your dog an examination. We will have you place the dog on a stand or a sit, and then we will run our hand down his back without asking you. Then we will lift his ear, we will lift his lips up to check his teeth, and then we run our hand from his neck down to his front paw, and we lift up his leg. There's been several occasions where students of ours, and I've taken other classes with other trainers, where this is where the person doing the evaluation can get bit. If your dog bites someone during this examination, then you need to realize that you need to have some further training. And that's what the trainer should suggest to you, is that maybe this class isn't where you need to be just yet. But the appearance and grooming lets the dog know that it should be allowing anyone to examine it at any time.
You know, before we go much further, Michelle, we need to talk about the equipment that is required by the pet and the pet's owner in the CGC test.
Oh, absolutely. They are required to bring in the dog's own brush, grooming brush or comb, because that has the dog's scent on it, and it's something that it's not going to cause it to have alarm or displeasure by. You also need to utilize a ball, typically is what we use for the moving object during the distractions.
All dogs must be on leash during the entire test, and a dog must be on a slip or a buckle collar. There is no choke collars, prong collars, electric collars, martingales, anything that like that is allowed, only a slip or a buckle collar.
That is correct. In some cases, you are allowed to use a martingale collar, but you have to have You have to be able to show the reason why you're using the martingale collar. It's typically used by people that have arthritis or the inability to really hold on to that dog.
So as we mentioned, this Canine Good Citizen test is really just a good gauge and a test for a well-mannered dog in public. Test number four, out for a walk, walking on a loose lead.
Well, this brings us back to what I was describing in the beginning, where two dogs are coming together and both are lunging at the end of the leash. That is not properly walking on a loose lead. When you are out for a walk, you want to demonstrate that your dog can walk on a loose leash. In other words, the leash goes from the dog to your hand, and it should create a nice J, letter J type of a shape. And the dog can be placed either on the left side or the right side and should not go further than the withers should line up with your knee or your leg. And that's where a proper heel position is. Old school dog trainers like myself, we prefer the dog on the left side. And the reason for that is because typically when you're walking your dog and someone is coming against you, their dog is on the outside and your dog is on the outside. So it's typically puts you guys in a position where you're not going to be walking dog on dog.
That is exactly right. And now we're into test number five, walking through a crowd. You know, most of the times, as we mentioned, access to trails here in Alaska or taking our dog into public, whether it be the Anchorage Farmer's Market downtown or any of the other areas, like here in Palmer, there's a lot of things going on in the summer, one in particular, the Friday Flings that happens every Friday. It's an open-air market here in town. A lot of times people take their dogs and they don't necessarily know how to walk through a crowd, do they?
No, they do not. A lot of times people typically break rule number four or test number four, out for a walk, and that is proper leash handling. Like I said, you need to have that dog in a heel position. If your dog cannot walk in a heel position next to you with no one around, chances are that dog is not going to walk in a heel position in a crowd. The worst piece of equipment you can use when you're walking your dog is a retractable leash. A retractable leash, when you are walking on a sidewalk or on a trail or in a crowd, can cause a lot of problems because your dog is going to be not next to you, not under control. And that's what this test is really looking to show you and to teach you, is that your dog needs to be under your control. If you cannot keep your dog under your care and control, then you need to change out your leash to a 6-foot leash. Keep him in a heel position close to your side. That way somebody doesn't scare him, he doesn't come across another dog that's mean, and you can protect your dog, showing him that you are his leader and he doesn't need to lead you.
That's exactly right. Now we're up to the typical commands that most people know about when you talk about training, the sits, the downs, the comes, and all those. Number six, sit and down on command and staying in place.
These ones are pretty important because it shows that your dog will listen when you ask it to do something. So everybody knows what sit and down are, so you can typically start off with those in the traditional way, however you choose to teach your dog those two commands. Staying in place is a little bit more tricky. In this case, you're going to ask your dog to sit, then you will ask your dog to down, then you will tell your dog to stay in place. A handler is then asked to leave its dog, go 10 feet from the dog, and then immediately return to the dog. At this point, we would move into test number seven, which is coming when called. So that's when I would ask the owner to leave the dog again on the stay, and then go 10 to 20 feet from the dog, and then call the dog to them. What we're looking for here is for the dog to come directly to the owner, not run off in the bushes, not wander around, not go smell my buddy, but come directly to the owner.
That's right. And I think that the most important command in dog training is come. If a dog cannot come, that is a life and death situation for your dog. Think about this, guys. If your dog can do a perfect 15-minute sit in your living room, and then all of a sudden he gets out of the house, runs through the door out into the street, and keeps on going. If he knows come, and he can turn it on a dime and come right back to you, that is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. But not only that, Not just teaching coming when called. In this particular program and this particular test, they don't do a finish command, which is something that you and I really push our clientele to do. And that finish command is simply having the dog come to you and sitting in front of you at attention, looking up at you like, Mom, what do you need? I don't know what you need. So looking for that next thing from you, that's how you don't want your dog to come to you. You don't want your dog coming to you and doing what I call a blow-by, like coming right to you and then, ha, there I go. You'd had no chance of catching me. It's not about catching him. It's about getting them to come to you with respect, sit in front of me, let me put my leash back on you, good dog.
That's right. So now we're getting into the parts of the test that become a little bit more difficult for the basic dog team, the owner and the dog. This is when a lot of people begin to get nervous and the dogs sometimes fail these next three or four tests. The next one, test number 8, reaction to another dog.
Yes, the reaction to another dog should be a neutral dog in the test. And what I mean by neutral dog is a dog that the evaluator knows to be balanced, a dog that is not aggressive in any fashion, a dog that is not submissive in any fashion, a dog that is what is considered well-balanced, a friendly dog that gets along with all dogs of all sizes and ages and will tolerate puppies and will not harm a dog that's not feeling good or has an odor of disease like diabetes or something like that. So you want your reaction to another dog to demonstrate that both dogs being handled can come together and sit when the owner stops and not try to get to the other dog for whatever reason that might be. It might be to say hello. It might be to bite my new friend's ear off. Who knows? But you want both dogs to come together, sit across from each other. They can look at each other, but they should actually have no reaction to the other dog. They can do a little smell, but they can't pull away from their owners. And once they're allowed to greet, then that's fine. They're allowed to greet. But the point of the exercise is to show that they won't get overly excited or aggressive just because another dog is within 3 to 4 feet away.
And that's right. And it's important here that just because your dog reacts well to another dog, can you take that dog with you and your dog for a walk? Can you guys stroll down that trail together? Can you guys have a conversation without constantly having to interrupt that conversation with your dog training? It should be a very fluid process as you're walking down the trail with you and your friend and your two dogs. So this is what this test implies, to be able to not only react with another dog, but also to walk with that party for at least 20 feet, right?
Absolutely, and I just want to interject here. There are certain breeds that, even with the best of introducing socialization and proper training, there are some breeds that just don't ever do well with the reaction to another dog scenario in the Canine Good Citizen test. That number one breed would be the Siberian Husky, wouldn't it, Robert?
Yeah, the Siberian Huskies, you know, we've owned, bred, and trained those guys. I have since 1987. I'm a firm believer that they have a mind of their own, and they're probably one of the most difficult dogs to finish in some type of obedience program. You know, I've finished dogs in obedience trials, and they've still been some of the most misbehaved manner dogs that I've ever seen.
Well, yes, but they have a place in your heart for sure.
That is right.
So I just wanted to let people know that just because you've got a Bodie like we do, a tri-eyed Siberian Husky who's up to no good most of the time, they can still join the program and with training can benefit from the program even if they don't pass the test. Mr. Bodie has not ever passed the test, and I've done the training with him several times. And I am, you know, a seasoned trainer, and so is Robert. And Bodie's just going to be one of those dogs that we know there's certain places he can't go on the trail on a leash and walk around and not become a nuisance to other dogs and their owners. But if you put him in a harness and snap him on the gang line and let him go down the sled dog trail, he does just fine.
That's exactly right, and typically we'll react to those other dogs relatively well on that gang line. So number 9, reaction to distractions.
Well, reaction to distractions, that leads us right into it. A distraction could be the other dog, And once you've learned how to react to the other dog, you should be able to handle distractions fairly well as well. Reaction to distractions will incorporate a moving object, typically a ball, a food object, and a noisy object. Typically, we drop a phone book. I used to drop a metal bowl. The metal bowl that looks like a dog's food bowl is a distraction in itself, and that kind of amps up the level of training that you're doing with your trainer to prepare you for the Canine Good Citizen test. The harder you make the training, the better it is for you and your dog during the test. So if you bring out your dog's food bowl, and in that food bowl you've got two or three pieces of kibble that make noise, and the dog's favorite toy, whether it be a ball or a squeaky toy, and then you've got the bowl itself. Let's say you drop the treats on the floor, the dog is in a sit-stay, and you tell him to leave it. If he goes for the food, fail. Then you drop his ball and roll it across the floor and tell him to stay just before you drop that ball. If he goes after that ball, major fail. Then the evaluator will stand behind the dog and make some noise with that bowl. I don't suggest dropping it unless you're 10 feet away, because if you're dropping it on a hard surface, it is going to make a very loud noise, and it should startle the dog. When you get the startle reaction, you want the dog to, he can turn around, but he shouldn't break the sit. If he breaks the sit from the noise distraction, that's an epic fail, because now he's failed on all distractions. Distractions is one of the hardest, most difficult parts of the test to pass. The next one would be the supervised separation, which brings us to test number 10. So a lot of times when I'm giving this test, I will not do the reaction to distraction test number 9 and then follow it through with the supervised separation test number 10, because now the dog is so nervous that he can't do anything because he's freaked out. So during supervised separation, you place your dog on a stay, either a down stay or a sit stay. You hand the dog's leash off to a volunteer handler, and then you go out of the dog's sight for 3 minutes. During that 3 minutes, your dog needs to remain on its stay. I always tell people put the dog on a down stay, because if he comes up to a sitting position, it's still allowed. If he stands and stays in that position, in other words, he doesn't go forward, backwards, or sideways, but he just simply stands into position, he is allowed to stay there as well. But supervised separation is the most difficult on our owners, because a lot of dogs do have a bit of anxiety when mom or dad leaves the room.
That is right. So that is the test in itself, 10 tests in order to pass the Canine Good Citizen test. Make sure that your dog is able to pass all 10. And I know we just have about 2 minutes left, Michelle, and I want to hit up two more things before we go. We're talking about the Canine Good Citizen test here on Dog Talk Radio. How does a dog become a good citizen titled dog? This just went into effect about 5 months ago, January 1st, 2013. The AKC recognized that the CGC will be a titled program, meaning that you will be registered in the AKC as having a title for the Canine Good Citizen test. As a dog trainer, I think this is probably one of the most important things that they could have done for this test. It was a great idea for them to take part in that, and I'm glad that they've made the steps to do so. The last thing that we want to mention here is what is available after the Canine Good Citizen test. Of course, typically, the Good Citizen test is available for dogs that are starting out into other programs. As Michelle mentioned, therapy and service work. There's all sorts of other things, aren't there, Michelle?
You know, absolutely. Typically at Alaska Dog Works, we use the Canine Good Citizen test as the next step in most of our advanced training. So you would enter puppy socialization. You know, this is in the super fabulous world out there. You would enter your dog into puppy socialization and then basic obedience. And then before we would let you go into advanced obedience, which is primarily off-leash training, and or any of the agility, tracking, service, therapy, Schutzhund, any of those type classes, we had your dog go through Canine Good Citizen. And if your dog passed Canine Good Citizen, it showed that you as an owner understood what controlling your dog in your home and in public meant.
As I always say, a trained dog is a happy owner, and a happy owner makes a very well well-balanced friendship between you and your dog. So I encourage everybody to do as much training as they can with your dog. Make it a game, make it fun, and you will have a very rewarding relationship with your dog. Michelle, we're about out of time. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook and Twitter at DogWorks Radio. At DogWorks Radio is our contacts on social media, or you can follow us over on Radio Free Palmer's Facebook page. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.